What a God. What a God indeed. Well, happy Mother's Day. I know this is a good day for some, a hard day for some, but we are thankful for the ladies who serve as moms in all kinds of ways, biologically and foster and adoptive and spiritual mentors. We're just grateful for all of you today. And because it's Mother's Day, maybe not because, but I thought this would be a good opportunity for me to change some things up today. I've kind of been longing to do something a little bit different. We've been in this sermon series, What a God, all year. I've enjoyed it. I think that God's been blessing us through that. But they're pretty weighty sermons, right? When you're walking through the various characteristics of God, it's pretty weighty. It's heavy with His glory. And so I know this about moms, and I know this is true about my mom. My mom's over here to my left. Moms are typically the greatest teachers on the planet. Can I get an amen? Anybody just have a mom that was a great teacher in your life? Thank the Lord. Dad, no offense, but he didn't have any patience for teaching us homework and stuff like that. Kind of typical dad. I sort of followed right in his footsteps with that. I grew up, my elementary years was in a Christian school, and I'm so thankful for that foundation. And we had to learn big blocks of scripture, like all of Psalm 1 and Psalm 23 and Hebrews chapter 11 and on and on and on. And mom just had a way of teaching through repetition, just patiently backing up, and we would say it again, and back up, and we'd say it again. We would go over it over and over and over again. And I really appreciate that, because I've come to understand this, because as a preacher slash teacher, you know, I thought I was going to be an elementary school teacher, and sometimes up here I feel like that is exactly what I'm doing in this room. But I've come to really understand that what learning really is, learning is not repeated exposure. Learning is repeated recall. All right, I'm going to let that sink in for a moment, because there's a big difference between the two. Just because you're repeatedly exposed to something, that doesn't mean that you're learning it. But when you can repeatedly recall it, right, then you've learned it. When you practice something so much that you get to the place, not that you can do it, that's not the goal, but that you can't mess it up, right? That's when you know you've gotten it. And so that's what I want to do today, is I want to give you maybe the opportunity to go beyond just repeated exposure, because that's what we're doing on Sunday mornings. I'm so thankful for the journey the Lord has us on. I'm so thankful for this sermon series that we've been walking through. And we've had, praise the Lord, we've had some pretty glorious moments in this room in 2026. Can I just get a witness? Come on, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're so thankful for those moments. But where my heart is today is I want us to get to a place that we aren't just having some exposure to those moments, but that we can have recall of who God is in real time. That tomorrow morning when somebody cuts you off in traffic, the first thing, or maybe the second thing after the Holy Spirit smacks you a little bit, is to recall who God is and what God is like. When temptation comes our way this week, in real time, to be able to recall who God is and what God is like. When anxiety and uncertainty comes into our lives this week, in real time, not to just wonder, hey, what was I exposed to Sunday? But in real time, to be able to recall, this is who God is and this is what God is like. All right, does that make sense? And this is why this is important. We've quoted Tozier several times, but he said this long ago. He said, what you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So to be able to recall the truth about who God is in real time is so important for us to be able to do that, all right? And so today we're going to just review. That's what we're going to do today. So if you're here and you're thinking like, man, I was looking for a church that preaches the word. Well, I think you found it, but today we're just going to pause for a minute and review the word that we've been preaching all year long, because we just sometimes need to let it stick in us a little bit more and kind of sit in it and saturate in it and let it soak into us. We want to get beyond exposure, repeated recall, right? That's where we want to get to today. So let's review real quick. I'll put these up on the screen. These are in the order that we have walked through these this year. And if you want to jot these down quickly in your notes, you can do that. I hope that next Sunday, Our media person is back from her honeymoon. She so selfishly abandoned her post this week. Good gracious. She'll be back, and I'm hoping that we can put this together in resource form for you to have maybe some hard copies or to have accessible on our social sites and all that kind of stuff, all right? But today, if you want to jot these down, or I know some of you just like to hold your phone up and take pictures of the screen, that's perfectly fine. I don't mind, but there's going to be a lot of them to take. You'll come out here with a lot of photos today if you do that. Here's what's going to be better, though. I think before we get out of here today, you're going to have it all memorized. Trust me. Mama taught me how to do this. All right? Here we go. Number one, God is Yahweh. God is Yahweh. He simply is. That's how he introduced himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. He said, I am that I am. He is Yahweh. He simply is. He is not a God that is becoming. He's not evolving. He's not progressing. He's not growing. He's the same God that he's always been, that he always will be. Secondly, God is one. God is one. He cannot be divided. Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's called the Shema. That was our text that day. The Lord is one. He's not made up of parts. He's not assembled. He's not constructed. He's not the sum total of all of these attributes. He is 100% of all of these attributes. God is one, fully God all the time. Number three, God is self-sufficient. He needs nothing. He needs nothing. Acts chapter 17, verse 25, he himself gives to all life. Everything depends on him. But you know what he depends on? Nothing. He's self-sufficient. He's God all by himself. On that day, I remember saying on that day, we know that phrase, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. And I said, we ought to change that to God is God all the time and all the time. God is God, because that is true. He is self-sufficient. Number four, God is eternal. He has no beginning, no end, no start, no finish to him. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting. He's before all things. He is after all things. Number five, God is unchanging. He's unchanging. That means he's always the same. Or the fancy word for that is he is immutable. He never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. There is no shifting in him. There is no shadow of turning in him. There is never any deviating in him about who he is and what he's about. Number six, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He rules over all. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35 tells us that he does according to his will. He does according to his will. There is nothing that is outside of his control. It's been said there is not one random molecule running amok in our universe. God rules over everything. Nothing is outside his control. Number seven, God is holy. In fact, that's the one thing about God the scripture repeats three times. He's holy, holy, holy. He is set apart. He is unique. He is in a class all by himself. He has no peer. He has no rival. All is created. He is creator. He is holy God. No one like him. Number eight, God is righteous. God is righteous. That means he always does right. He never falls short of doing what is right. He always does right. The Lord is righteous. Psalm 145, he's perfect in all of his ways. Number nine, God is transcendent. He's transcendent. That means he's above all. He's above everything. As high as the heavens, he is above even the heavens. My thoughts are not your thoughts, he says in Isaiah 55. He's higher than we can fathom, but he's also closer than we can imagine. That means he's imminent. He's imminent. He's closer than even our breath, so close to us. He is not far, Acts 17 says, nearer than we think. Number 11, God is just. He's just. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, all his ways are justice. This is good news for us. Anybody ever been wronged in your life? Wrong will not win, because God is making all things right. He will make all things right because he is a God that is just. Number 12, God is merciful. He is merciful. How many of you are thankful for that today, that God has withheld from us what we deserve? The fact that we are here today breathing is evidence of the mercy of God, that he has withheld from us what we deserve. He is rich in mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, compassion over judgment. I would say compassion with judgment, probably. Number 13, God is love. God is love, gives himself freely. Pastor Jason preached that one. I remember that one. God is love, 1 John chapter 4. The Bible says, Romans 5, 8, God demonstrated his great love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is love. Number 14, God is gracious. God is gracious. That means he gives undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. God is a gracious God. By grace we've been saved, not of works, so that no one may boast. We're only going to boast in Jesus in heaven. I don't want to be with Craig Miller in heaven if he's just going to be boasting in himself for all of eternity. That's going to get old, Craig. And Craig would say the same about me. But we are not going to get tired of heaven, Craig, because we're going to be together boasting in Jesus, that we're saved by his grace and grace alone. Number 15, God is faithful. He never lets go. He never lets go. His steadfast love, the chesed of God. Remember that? The chesed of God endures forever. He will not fail. Number 16, God is jealous. He's jealous. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. The Lord is a jealous God. He will not share you with another. To share you with another means that he is going to allow you to self-destruct. It is for your good that God is a jealous God. And then last week we saw number 17, God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere all the time. We looked at Psalm 139, where can I go? We cannot escape the presence of God. He is right here, right now. All right, that's our review. You ready for this? Let's study for our quiz today. Let's go. Let's say it together. Let's start with what a God. What a God. Let's say it together. He simply is. He is. He cannot be divided. He is. It's really a bad camera shot on me right now. We can't do nothing about that. Wait a minute. I'll stand this way. Here we go. Let's start over. It's bad when your big, fat, bald head distracts you, right? Because normally I don't see that side of me. And I would argue that might be my best side. I know what you're thinking. I'll beat you to the punchline. Let's start it over. What a God. That's better. You got to laugh at me and you loosened up a little bit. Praise the Lord. He simply is. He is. He cannot be divided. He is. He needs nothing. He is also known as the aseity of God for you fancy people. He has no beginning or end. He is. He stays the same. He is. He rules over all. He is. He is set apart. He is. He always does right. He is. He is above all things. He is. He is closer than breath. He is. He makes all things right. He is. He withholds what we deserve. He is. He gives himself freely. He is. He gives undeserved favor. He is. He never lets go. He is. He wants your heart. He is. He is everywhere all the time. He is. You ready for the test? You'll do it one more time? We'll do it one more time, like it is, real fast. And then we're testing out on this thing, all right? Now listen, this sermon series isn't over. I don't know how far this is going to go. I really don't. But we're going to continue to get this in us because we want total recall, right? In the real moments, in real time, in life. Because what we think about when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And we don't want to just think about God on Sunday, right? We want to think about God when the fear comes, when the uncertainty comes, when the temptation comes, right? So here we go. What a God. He simply is. He is. He cannot be divided. He is. He needs nothing. He is. He has no beginning or end. He is. He stays the same. He is. He rules over all. He is. He is set apart. He is. He always does right. He is. He is above all things. He is. He is closer than breath. He is. He makes all things right. He is. He withholds what we deserve. He is. He gives himself freely. He is. He gives undeserved favor. He is. He never lets go. He is. He wants your heart. He is. He is everywhere all the time. Omnipresent. All right, blank them out, Zach. Let's go. You ready for this? He simply is. He is. He cannot be divided. He is. He needs nothing. He is. He has no beginning or no end. He is. He never changes. He stays the same. Oh, did I miss eternal? He has no beginning. Did I do eternal? I did eternal. He stays the same. He's unchanging. He rules over all. Sovereign. He is set apart. He is. He does what is right. He's above all things. He's closer than breath. He makes all things right. He withholds what we deserve. He gives of himself freely. He gives undeserved favor. He never lets go. Faithful. He wants my heart. He's everywhere all the time. Hey, not bad. Not bad, not bad. I'm really proud of you. You guys can learn, right? Now, we're not done. It was about 10 years ago on Christmas morning, Sunday. Christmas was on a Sunday that year, and I felt that day kind of like I do today. I just was going to be in teacher mode. The kids wore their pajamas to church that day. I don't know if y'all remember that. And I brought them up on the stage, and I, for the very first time, publicly did what now we call the Bible timeline. Are there boys and, come on, boys and girls, just come on up here with Pastor Joel this morning. Come on up. Come on up. Let's get all the boys and girls up here. Y'all welcome the boys and girls up here with us today. Come on. How many of you were boys and girls once upon a time who came up on the stage and did the Bible timeline? I know. I see you. Come on up here. Today, thousands of people know the Bible timeline. There's entire schools that know the Bible timeline. It all started here about 10 years ago. And it's my prayer, come on in, come on in, come on in, everybody. It's my prayer that in the days to come at Grace Life, the whole What a God series will be embedded in our hearts like the Bible timeline has become embedded in our hearts. I had a lady the other day, she's in her 60s. She gave her life to Jesus. She told me she's been in church her whole life. But she said, I've been in church my whole life, but I've not been in the Bible. And I'm finding there's a whole lot of people today that they are hungry to understand God's word, to know the story, to connect the dots, to be able to live their life in alignment with God's word. But we got to know it, right? And so let's do the Bible timeline together. You guys ready for this? All right, we're ready for this. In the beginning, God created two people. What were their names? And y'all can participate today too, Adam and Eve. And did they obey God or disobey? They disobeyed. And what does the Bible call that? Sin. And even though they sinned, God stepped into the garden and he made a promise. He promised to send a Savior, but sin just got worse. So God sent a flood and he destroyed the whole world except one man by the name of Noah and his entire family. But then the world began to repopulate and they built the Tower of Babel, but God confused their languages, and that was the beginning of the nations of the earth. And out of all those people, God chose one man to start a new nation. His name is Abraham, and God promised Abraham three things: lots of children, lots of land, and a blessing would come from his family to all the nations of the earth. And Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac, and Isaac had a son by the name of Jacob, and Jacob had a son by the name of Joseph. And Joseph ended up living where? Egypt. And the Pharaoh turned all of God's people into what? Slaves. But God raised up a man to bring them out of slavery. What's his name? Moses. But did Moses get to take them to the promised land? No. Instead, his protege, Joshua, takes them into the promised land. But even when they get to the promised land, their hearts are still wicked, and they go through a series or a cycle of judges. And they said, God, we don't want any more judges. We want a king. So they got King Saul, they got King David, they got king, and then the kingdom split. And what happened to the northern kingdom? Conquered by the Assyrians. What happened to the southern kingdom? Taken into captivity by the Babylonians for how long? 70 years. But God kept his promise, then he brought them home, and they rebuilt the city, they rebuilt the temple, they started to worship God. But then for 400 years, God got really, really quiet, but then he spoke. And he spoke to a young girl by the name of Mary. He said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And he named that baby Jesus. And Jesus lived a what kind of life? A perfect and sinless life. And he died on the, and he rose from the, and he ascended into, and he sent his Holy Spirit. And that's the beginning of the church. That's us. And he's told us to go tell the whole world about the Lord and to make disciples, because he's coming back. And he's going to make a new heaven and a new, and we get to live with him forever. Y'all did. I love the forever part. Everybody does it so well. All right, that's good. All right, now we're going to do the timeline again, but Pastor Joel is going to pause along the way. Let's put, yeah, we got it up here, all right? And if y'all want to do this, you can, but this is going to be, y'all are going to really help me with the timeline, and then you guys are going to help us with what God is like. We've never tried this before. We're going to try it today. I'm going to pause along the way in the timeline and give you an opportunity to shout out what you think would be the attribute of God that we see most clearly in that moment in redemptive history through God's word, all right? Now, there's not one right answer. There's not one right answer. There could be a lot of different words, right, that come flying out. So I'll pause along the way. I'll try. I have a rhythm to this, so when I break my rhythm, it makes it a little bit harder. But we'll do our best, and I want you to think about this because this is good practice, because life is going to happen tomorrow. And we don't want to just have a moment in this room. We want to have recall of who God is and what he's like tomorrow and on Thursday and Saturday. All the things, all right? So this is going to help us identify in moments how we see the Lord showing up. All right, you ready? In the beginning. All the above, right? That's good. I heard, I was thinking eternal. Somebody said Yahweh. I like that too. In the beginning, God created. He created two people. What were their names? And did they obey God or disobey God? And what does the Bible call that? Yeah, holy, right? All that's good. But God stepped into the garden and he made a promise. Yeah, he made a promise. He promised to send a Savior. Oh, that's good. But sin just got, so God sent a flood. Just, right? He destroyed the whole world except one man by the name of, and his family. Merciful. That's good. Y'all are doing a great job. And then the world began to repopulate, and they built the Tower of, but God confused there. And that was the beginning of the, and out of, I hear you, and out of all those people, God chose one man to start a new nation. His name was Abraham, and he promised Abraham three things, lots of, I heard grace. Lots of land and a blessing would come through that family to all the nations of the earth. That's so good. Very good. Faithful. I like that. And so Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. And Isaac had a son by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had a son by the name of, and Joseph ended up living where? In Egypt. And the Pharaoh turned all of God's people into what? But God raised up a man to bring them out of slavery. His name is Moses. But did Moses take him to the promised land? No, instead of his protege, Joshua takes him into the promised land. Sovereign, faithful, all those are good things. But even when they get to the promised land, their hearts are still wicked, and they go through a series or a cycle of judges, and they say, God, we don't want any more judges. We want a... So they got king, they got king, they got king, and then the kingdom. And what happened to the northern kingdom? Conquered by the Assyrians. What happened to the southern kingdom? Babylonian captivity, 7 years, but God kept his promise. He brought them home. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the city. They start to worship God again. But then for 400 years, God got really, really quiet. That's a whole other attribute we need to talk about maybe, right? He got quiet for 400 years. But then he spoke to a young girl by the name of, remember the promise in the garden? Here we go. He speaks to this young girl by the name of Mary. And he says, you're going to have a, and you name that baby. And Jesus lived a what kind of life? Imminent, righteous, so good. He lived a perfect sinless life. He died on the love. And he rose from the dead. And he ascended into heaven. And then he sent his Holy Spirit. And that's the beginning of the church. That's us. And he's told us to go tell the whole world about him because he's coming back. We need some more attributes. This sermon series isn't over, right? He's coming back and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth where we get to live with him forever. Now, y'all stay up here. Y'all just have a seat. I like keeping you guys up here. All right. Now, timeline, that takes us about 2.5 minutes. I'm about to teach you the attributes of God that we've covered so far, and when we get done with this, we can do the whole thing in less than 60 seconds. Then we can do the timeline and the attributes in less than 3.5 minutes. How about that? Does that sound good? All right, so here we go. I got some motions for this. Here we go. What a God. He simply is. He is Yahweh. He cannot be divided. He is one. He needs nothing. Self-sufficient. He has no beginning and no end. Eternal. He stays the same. From eternity past, eternity future, he stays the same. He is unchanging. This is my crown. He rules over all things. He is set apart. He is holy, holy, holy. This is my right hand. He always does what is right. He is righteous. He is above all things. He is transcendent. He is closer than breath. He is imminent. He will make all things right. This is my gavel. He will make all things right. He is just. He withholds what we deserve. Mercy. He gives of himself freely. Love. He gives undeserved favor. He never lets go. He wants my heart. He is everywhere all the time. He is omnipresent. You got it? Let's take the words down. Let's just take the screen blank, Zach. No screen. No nothing. No nothing. No training wheels. No net under the high wire. You guys ready for this? Now, you want to do the motions with me? No? Yes? Okay. The kids who really love Jesus and want to do the motions, stand up with Pastor Joel. Stand up, all of you, bunch of scalawags. All right. Here we go. You guys ready for this? I wanted a different day. We needed a different day today. We just did, and this is a good day for us. We want to recall this. We want to meditate. The Bible says, here's Psalm 1. My mom taught me Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted beside rivers of waters that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. We want to meditate, right, on the truth of God's word. This is what this is helping us to do. I love the Sunday morning moments we have. But we got to pause along the way, and we got to ask the Holy Spirit, get this in us. Get this in us. The Christian life can't be built on Sunday moments. It's built on meditating on God's word, abiding in Jesus. All right, you with me? You with me? Are you scared? You're not up here. Why are you scared? You're hiding out there amongst hundreds of people. Me and the kids are up here all by ourselves. That's why they're up here. They're my security blanket. Here we go. Do I need to explain the motions? Will that help if I explain them one time? I'll explain them. Then we'll go through the whole thing. Okay, what a God. He simply is. He is Yahweh. He cannot be divided. This is my cannot be divided. He is one. He needs nothing. He's not grabbing for anything because he's desperate. He needs nothing. He is self-sufficient. He has no beginning. I'm going as far back as I can go. He has no end. I'm going as far forward as I can go. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is eternal. He stays the same. Eternity past, eternity future. He stays the same. This is the crown. He rules over all. I'm going to set myself apart. He is set apart. He is holy, holy, holy. And then I'm going to my right hand because all that he does is right. He is righteous. And then I'm going to throw my right hand up with my left. He is above all things. He is transcendent, but he's also closer than breath. he is imminent. He is imminent. And then I'm going to bring my right hand down with my gavel because he is the God who is just. He makes all things right. He is the God who is just. He withholds what we deserve. He is merciful. He gives of himself freely. He is love. He gives favor that's undeserved. This is, he's giving of himself to us. That is grace. That is right. And he never lets go. He's holding on. He never lets go. He is faithful. And he wants, and maybe y'all like to do the heart. I'm not good at making the heart shape. I just go boom. He wants our heart. He is jealous. And he is everywhere, all the time. Omnipresent. All right, you ready? You ready? You can do it. You can do it. Here we go. What a God. He simply is. He is. He cannot be divided. He is. He needs nothing. He is. He has no beginning and no end. He is. He stays the same. He is. I just blanked out. He rules over all things. He is set apart. He is holy, holy, holy. He is right in all of his ways. He is above all things. He is closer than breath. He will make all things right. Just. He withholds what we deserve. He is merciful. He gives of himself freely. He gives undeserved favor. He never lets go. He wants our hearts. And he is everywhere all the time. He is omnipresent. Give yourself a hand, ladies and gentlemen. You did so good. All right, let's put it all together one time. Somebody start the clock. We're going for 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes. Can we do it? Get a little toasty up here. Look, y'all, growing up, this is life at my house. This is what we did. This is how we learn. All right, here we go. You guys ready? We're going fast. Super fast. Choir members, y'all come on. Y'all notice we didn't bring the choir up first. We're going to have them up here last. So if you're here in the room, you're in the choir, come on. We'll get to you in just a second. So in the beginning, God created two people. What were their names? Did they obey God or disobey? They disobeyed. What's the Bible call that? And even though they sinned, God stepped into the garden. He made a promise. He promised to send a Savior, but sin just got, so God sent a flood. He destroyed the whole world except one man by the name of Noah and his family. But then the world began to repopulate. They built the Tower of Babel, but God confused their languages. And that was the beginning of the nations of the earth. And out of all those people, God chose one man to start a new nation. His name is Abraham. And he promised Abraham three things, lots of, and a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And Abraham had a son by the name of? Y'all got to say faster. Abraham had a son by the name of, and Isaac had a son by the name of, and Jacob had a son by the name of, and Joseph ended up living where? In Egypt. And the Pharaoh turned all of God's people into what? Slaves. But God raised up a man to bring them out of slavery. His name is Moses. But did Moses take them to the promised land? No. Instead, his protege, his student, Joshua, takes them to the promised land. But even when they got into the promised land, their hearts were still, and they go through a series or a cycle of, and they say, God, we don't want any more judges. We want a. So they got king. And then the kingdom. And what happened to the northern kingdom? Conquered by the Assyrians. What happened to the southern kingdom? Babylonian captivity. How many years? 7 years. But God kept his promise and he brought them home. They start to worship God again. They built the temple, built the city. Then for 400 years, God got really, really quiet. But then he spoke to a young girl by the name of Mary. He said, Mary, you're going to have a, and his name's going to be, and Jesus lived a what kind of life? A perfect sinless life. And he died on the, and he rose from the, and he ascended into, and then he sent his Holy Spirit. And that's the beginning of the church, that's us, and he told us to go tell the whole world about him because he's coming, and he's going to make a new, and we're going to get to live with him forever. What a God. He simply is Yahweh. He cannot be divided. He needs nothing. He is self-sufficient. He has no beginning and no end. He never changes. He stays the same. He is unchanging. He is ruling over all. He is set apart. He is holy, holy, holy. He is right in all of his ways. He is above all things. He is transcendent. He is closer than breath. He is imminent. He will make all things right. He withholds what we deserve. He gives of himself freely. He is love. He gives undeserved favor. He is, and he never lets go. He is, and he wants my, and he is everywhere all the time. He is, what a God. Let's pray. And this is how we're going to pray. And if you want to pray this with me, I invite you to pray this with me. God, what a God you are. You simply are. You are Yahweh. You cannot be divided. You are one. You need nothing. You're self-sufficient. You have no beginning, God, and you have no end. You are eternal, God. You stay the same. You're unchanging. You're ruling over all things. You are sovereign. You are set apart. You're holy, holy, holy. There is none like you. All the earth. Everything you do is right. You're righteous. You're above all things, God. You are transcendent. And we are so thankful that you're even closer than our next breath. You're imminent. In a world where there's so much wrong, Lord, we are thankful that you're a God who makes all things right. You are just. We are thankful that today you have withheld what we deserve because you're merciful. God, we praise you today because you have given freely of yourself. Jesus, your Son, on the cross is our substitute. You are love. And you give undeserved favor. You are grace. And it is only because you are that we're saved. And you never let go, never, ever let go because of your chesed love, you're a faithful God. And God, you want our hearts today. You're jealous that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to your glory and our joy. And you are everywhere, all the time. Omnipresent God. What a God. What a God. I want to invite you to stand and let's worship this God.